to move away from there. Okay. My name is Mike Bollinger, and this evening I just want to introduce Justin. Justin is Justin Kinney and his wife Jackie are part of the Lowestoft Community Church, and we've been on a journey as a group of us, just relating together and learning how to hear God better individually and with each other. And so we take opportunities to be able to sort of travel together and just to see how we can grow in hearing God. And so tonight I want to share a bit of my story a little bit, and I want to introduce something that I want it to be very, very practical. And so the objective tonight is to demystify what it means to be prophetic. And so it's just something that we're in the context of small group, people being part of small groups, a church family that's got smaller groups of gatherings together. And so just before we begin, I'd just like us to pray and ask God to help us here. So, Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you so much for your presence here. And I ask you, God, that you would enlarge our capacity of you, Lord. And I ask, God, that you would give us open hearts tonight, hearts that are hungry for you. I pray that you would help my words to come across. And I pray, Father, that you would help me, Lord, to be able to express what's on my heart to share. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're living in Lowestoft now with my wife, Ruth. We have three children. They are 25, 23, and 21. They're all about my height. And so we're from the redeemed tribe of Goliath. And so we moved to Sheffield about 10 years ago to be a part of a church there. My parents live in Norwich in Spixworth and part of the King's Church there. If anyone knows Peter and Gwenda Vinson, I think they sometimes do crafts here. That's my mother and father-in-law. And we became part of the Lowestoft Church about 3 years ago, but I'm originally from Canada. There you go. We're starting a small revival here. We're just going to bring one more Canadian every week. And so, but I grew up, had the privilege of growing up in a church in Lethbridge, Alberta, and went to youth group there. And at that time, I saw on television this Englishman that was doing TV programs on the local community channel there. Just our paths crossed, ended up being part of the church there, and had the privilege of being part of Keith Hazel's life and served with him and served alongside him and Jeremy, his son. We were in youth group together. But what I wanted to say in that is that tonight, the foundation I want to lay is that I grew up in a church where the prophetic was part of being together more than it was a specific gift for one or a few people. That it actually was a part of everything it was a part of the bigger part of what we did. So in our small groups, or when we had ministry times at the front, we just prayed for one another and gave words of encouragement to one another as part of just our everyday church life. And it was as regular as pork pies on a church, church lunch, So it was a natural part of what we were doing. What I want to say is that we were a prophetic people. And tonight I want to talk about being a prophetic people. And I want to just talk about what that means and how that practically works out. But we were a prophetic people. And I want to suggest that even as a church body in Christ, that we are a prophetic people. And what that means is three simple things. One is that we learn to hear what our Father is saying. And then we speak what we hear. And then we obey, believing that we've heard. Quite simply, we're a group of people that learn to hear the Father. We speak what we hear Him say to one another. And we obey, believing that we've heard. For me, when I was 17 years old, my high school teacher encouraged me. He bought me a journal. And he said, I just want you to write down your thoughts and the things that are important to you. He wasn't a Christian, but it set something in my life. And through that next year, I wrote things about, why do I have a cold if Christ saved, you know, died for all sickness? Why am I suffering with a cold? You know, those things that you do as a young Christian man. And then shortly after that, I learned something that really sort of changed my heart. And that is, an important part of prayer is knowing that God's speaking to us as much as we're talking to him. And in Job 33:14, if you're making notes, you can make a reference to this, but Job 33:14 says, "For God is speaking again and again, though people don't recognize it." And then my favorite verse, if you're just making notes, John 10:14 says, "I am the good shepherd." And that's Jesus saying that. "I am the good shepherd." And in verse 27 of John 10, he says, "My sheep hear my voice." So do I have any sheep here this evening? Bah, or myrrh, whatever you say. My sheep hear my voice. To me, that is part of our inheritance. If Jesus is the shepherd, I am the sheep, and he says, "My sheep hear my voice," then that is a statement of inheritance. And my background, just a little bit, I won't go into it too much here, but my father died when about 15 years ago. And at the time, I had to fight for my inheritance that he gave to me, that someone else felt that they had it. When the official papers were opened, I realized that my father had indeed given me an inheritance. And the Bible says that we have an inheritance that we can hear his voice. Hearing God is part of our inheritance in Christ. The primary purpose of hearing God is out of relationship with him. And I know sometimes there is the prophetic gift, and there's the gift of a prophet to the church, and there's prophetic ministry, but it starts at the grassroots in our churches, in our church life, of being something of our relationship with him, that we can hear his voice, and he's talking to us in our everyday life. God wants to speak personally to each of us. "My sheep hear my voice." Hearing is to be a natural expression of our relationship with God before any expression of ministry. I thought of it this way, is that words, we use English words to talk to one another, or our native tongue if you have another language as well. And it's how we relate together, and we use words to speak to one another and God, right? So if you turn the person beside you, say, "Can you hear me?" All right. We've got words, right? That's right. It's confusing there. Which side am I going to turn, right? We have words that we all use. We all have the ability to speak words. But there's a different measure of words. Some people have a greater measure of words to speak to a small group. Others have a greater measure of words to speak to a group of 100 or more. Martin Luther King spoke and captivated an audience of 250,000 people when he said, "I have a dream." Different measures of words there were, but we all have that word in a small measure ourselves. We are prophetic people because within us is our ability to hear God. And I want to just sort of unpack that just a little bit tonight. Well, how do I hear God? How do I go about it? This is my series, 4 Ways to Hear the Voice of God for 1995. It's not going to be like that. We're not trying to sell anything. But having a prophetic gift, as we might think the prophecy is about, is simply an increased measure of our fundamental ability to hear God in prayer. Why is it so difficult sometimes? I'm just going to talk for just a few minutes, then we want to do something really practical here. So just bear with me just a second. Why is it difficult sometimes to be able to hear God or to understand that God's speaking to me? What is the challenge? Well, this is where my little red bottle comes in. This is some perfume, okay? And in Exodus 30, again, if you're just taking notes, Exodus 30 talks about when they were making the tabernacle, there was somebody called a perfumer. And a perfumer, a person that makes perfume, what I mean, is they made a sacred anointing oil mixed with a fragrant incense. And it talks about that this shall be a holy anointing oil throughout your generations. You have the Holy Spirit within you. That's, I think, last week what you talked about, right? Is my understanding? I'm coming into this. Yeah? Nod your head. Are we, is that right? Yes. Okay, last week. Last week we talked about the Spirit of God's within you. That is like the perfume of God. It's a holy anointing, a sweet fragrance of God within you. That is what stirs within our hearts. When the Holy Spirit stirs our spirit, it's like perfume that fills our senses. And so within our inner man, it's like a spontaneous life. Have you ever gone, let me just step back on that. It's when perfume is suddenly sprayed or suddenly opened, it's like a spontaneous, like a soft, gentle, unexpected smell. And God's thoughts are spontaneous thoughts, and we sometimes think they're our own. Let me give an example. How many have driven down the road and you got the thought, pray for Joe or Jane or pray for someone? Lift your hand. Just, I got that. Yep. Okay. So you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you have a thought comes to your mind. Your mind receives a spontaneous thought from your spirit. Does that make sense? Okay, so my spirit is communicating with God. It's receiving a spontaneous thought that my mind receives. So all of a sudden, pray for Joe. We can be hit by a God snowball that way. You know, I'm from Canada. We throw snowballs when they're... So all of a sudden, this spontaneous... God's thoughts are just quick thoughts that we weren't thinking about. And a lot of times, we just ignore those as being our own. We can also get enemy snowballs. Right? We can get thoughts like, you don't belong here. This is not for you. Or sometimes you might be wrestling, you're ugly, and you think, I'm ugly. Or you know, that those spontaneous thoughts that our spirit has spontaneous things that we receive from God, but also the enemy speaks spontaneous things as well. And how do we tell the difference? The difference is that God's thoughts lift us up and don't tear us down. God's thoughts draw us closer and not farther away. And so understanding tonight that my own thoughts tend to be repetitive. If you consider between three things, there's my thoughts, God's thoughts, and then the enemy's thoughts. Right? So we talked about God's and the enemy's is just by their nature. If they draw me closer or encourage people, those are more God's thoughts. My own thoughts tend to be repetitive, like I'm mulling over. You know when you're mulling over something, like I'm chewing something. It's something that's initiated by me. Those are my own thoughts. But this is where I want to go with this tonight, is that in Matthew 26, Mary was carrying perfume in a vessel. And it says that she came into the room and Mary smashed the flask and poured the oil over Jesus. And it said, a related verse in John 12, that when she smashed that, it filled, the whole house was filled with the fragrance of this perfume. Now, I wish this was like the days of like Ezekiel where he did really natural things and I could pick up this perfume and smash it down as a prophetic declaration or a prophetic sign and it would fill the whole place. We know that, right? But this is what I want us to see. Our spirit, our inner man, is the perfume of God. And our mind and our emotions and our will is like the outer man. It's like the vessel. And God, the perfume of the Holy Spirit, comes out of us through our mind and through our mouth, right? The things that God speaks. God stirs up our hearts, but we can hold it in our own thinking and not share it. So for me, let me just give an example. I just was in Berkel this last weekend in the Netherlands. We had the church planting conference. And there's times when you're in those things and you know that you want to ask God, God, what do you want to share? And I could feel my heart stirring. God, I felt like just, I could feel the presence of God. But I also felt great fear that I might get something wrong. And that fear was like the cap on the perfume bottle. And so while my spirits wanted to break out, my fear was holding me back. Or there was a time when my rational mind could discount away what I was hearing. Well, is that God? I'm not sure. Let me think. And as soon as you start to rationalize it, it's like you're capping the perfume. Does that make sense? So what Mary did was she smashed the vessel so that the perfume could come out. And I just felt like that sometimes the trials that we go through are breaking down the outer man so that the Spirit of God can come forth in us. I don't like suffering. Does anyone like suffering? But suffering, I felt just to encourage it, that suffering causes the perfume of God to pour out of our hearts. Because what God is doing, he's not causing the suffering, but he's using that to break down the vessel to allow the perfume to come out. So tonight for me, part of our hearing God is recognizing that there is a precious, valuable perfume, just like Mary had, within our spirit. And when we are rational about it, or when we're fearful about walking in those things, it can be like holding that in a jar and not sharing it. And when that perfume, when I open that perfume, or smash it if I could, that it just fills your senses. And that's why, just to probably add on to what we talked about last week, is we need to be filled with the Spirit. Because then the fullness of that perfume can flow out of us into encouraging and strengthening one another. It's not so that we could go and prophesy to the nations in some special gift, but it's so that when we're gathered together and someone is hurting, we can just say, God, what's your heart for them? And let that perfume be a fragrance to that hurting person. Or when you're on the ministry team at the front. I always remember this when we were younger, is we used to have our friends, when they would come up to the front, it's almost like during the ministry time, when they came up to the front, we wanted to go up and just stand with them and pray with them. And it's just that everyday life. What I want to bring tonight is a culture that we are a prophetic people, that we have the ability to hear God. That fragrance of God breaks into our senses where we get a spontaneous thought, a spontaneous picture, or even a sense of just how that person is feeling or how God is feeling. Have you felt that sometimes when you're praying and all of a sudden you feel just a sense of what God just wants to, almost like someone's talking to you? And what I want to encourage us is that we can be naturally struggling, like I am sometimes, with fear. God, is that you? What if I'm wrong? Or maybe we might say, well, I'm a person of the Word. I'm not really a person of the Spirit. I believe that God has called you to be both Word and Spirit. I believe just God wants to confirm that this is a time when you're kind of scrubbing the foundation stones and kind of visiting again some of the foundational things of your life in Christ. But I believe even as well, part of that is the fact that God wants to remind you that you're living stones, that you're not just people built into a house that gather, but that God actually is bringing a new spill of a new anointing of the Holy Spirit to you. And part of this is him saying, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you need to know that I, as a father, want to speak to you and encourage you and speak to your hearts out of relationship, not out of something that you have to then give to somebody else. Got off on there a little bit, pardon me. It's the smashing of fear and the smashing of being a rational person. And God is the one. We don't need to search and say, maybe there's something wrong that I don't receive God. God is a gentleman. He will help us. If anything, even, it's like to say, Lord, I just give you my life afresh. And just ask you to let me get a set aside to let your perfume come out. And when we are trying to hear God, a lot of times we're praying for people and we're looking at people with our outer eyes. You know, like we say, Lord, I just pray, bless them in Jesus' name, or even just close our eyes, but we're thinking just in a natural surroundings. But if you consider a very popular verse, Hebrews 12:2, fixing your eyes on Jesus. Just give me some feedback. Where do I fix my eyes? How do I fix my eyes on Jesus? Where am I looking? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Inside. Yeah? There's a song that goes with that. I was trying to find the word. I thought of the song first before this verse. But turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth go strangely dim. I appreciate that's a song. But what that means is that when I'm praying, when we were a church where I grew up, when we were a church that just wanted to encourage and minister to one another, what we did was while we were praying for people, Lord bless them and strengthen them, we were listening on the inside. We were looking to our inner man to see what perfume was coming up. Am I making sense? Right? And when you look inside, you start to see the flow of God thoughts that many times we think are ours. So how do we know? How do we learn to discern those things? When I first started to hear, let me say that again. When I first started to be encouraged to listen for God thoughts is what I mean, is that I instantly got a thought that just like, you're precious. And I stop and I go, wait a minute, okay, you're precious. And I start thinking, I'm listening with my heart. And then I start saying, okay, now God, is that you? Is that the enemy? And I stop and I switch from listening to thinking about what I listen to. And I've switched from inner man to outer man. Can you see what I just said? Okay, so this is what I said. This is where Habakkuk talks about, Habakkuk 2 talks about, I will look to see what he will say to me. And the next line says, write it down. And I just want to encourage us that hearing God is not like a cup of soup. It's not something that happens instantly. It's not a drive-through Big Mac that instantly we instantly hear God in his fullness. It's something that we develop. Just as Justin and I, in me being in Lowestoft for 3 years, we're getting to know each other and we talk to each other and we get to know each other and we develop our friendship that way. What we're doing is we're turning our eyes upon Jesus. And what it means is that it's recognizing that I don't live my Christian life with my natural eyes. I live it by my heart. One of my heroes from many years ago, was a friend of Derek Prince, is a guy named Bob Mumford. And he talks about this, how they train horses to pull the king's carriage. And those horses, they train them so that when there's bombs going off all around, yet inside they're still in the Spirit of God, in their inside, right? In other words, that while there's lots of things going on the outside, you know, a whole bunch of different things going on in our lives, that God wants us to step back in our spirit and talk to him in the midst of that. Does that make sense? and just say, God, I just worship you. Thank you for your peace. But equally, when I'm praying, the first thing that I did, this first time that I started writing, my courage to write down my thoughts first, is if you look at David's prayer, say that again, if you look at Psalm, it's like David pouring out his heart saying, why God? Why is this? Why is that? You know, and that's him just expressing his heart. I call that like Davidic prayers. So he ends up just pouring out his heart. And a lot of times, I went back to some of my old journals here, and a lot of times when we're trying to talk to God, we're like a pent-up jar. There's like lots of things going on in our heart, and we just say, I don't even know where to talk, God. I don't even know where to begin here. But I'm just ticked off right now. I don't know what to do. And David understood that. If you look at the beginning of Psalms, a lot of what David said start with, why, God? I don't understand. This doesn't make sense. Why do they get away with it? And it's like, and then it ends with, but yours go, you know, like he just finishes off with it with a sense of God. So this is just something that I wrote. I just felt I wanted to share it this evening. I just wrote, I'm desperate. I've come to a place where I'm at the end of myself. I'm all alone. I'm struggling to keep my heart and attitude right. This is not this year. This is a previous time. I keep resolving in my mind that I'm where I am, not because of any man or any circumstance. No man keeps me from God's presence. My heart is my responsibility. What I am in the whatever I am in the desert or in a river, my heart is my responsibility. I don't care what I do or where I am. I'm desperate to be close to you, Father. I keep making excuses. I keep avoiding the issues. I've grown resentful in my heart, and my heart is not pure. So I was just pouring out my heart like I was talking to my dad. And I just poured out my heart. And just what that does is it gets your heart rolling. It gets you talking to God in that way. Sometimes it doesn't mean you have to write down all your prayers, because that would take you a long time. Lord, I pray for Susie. But it's pouring out my heart. And then I took a moment. I just said here, you know the depth and width of my heart. In my walk with you, Father, I know. Examine my heart, O Lord, and unpack the baggage. What is the next step? And then I just stepped back, and I just listened, and I just fixed my eyes on him. One of the greatest challenges that we have today is being still. The greatest challenge I have in my life today is to be still enough to hear God. It's not a matter of ability. It's a matter of our confidence and placing ourselves in that place where God can speak to us. It's kind of like that analogy of the snowball. It's kind of like God says, I want you to just sit and let the snow build up on your shoulders rather than me having to hit you with a snowball all the time while you're running. You know, that sort of aspect of us being busy and God saying, can you just stop for a second and let me talk to you? And when God talks to you, it's not, yea, verily, yo, I'm with thee, yea, verily. It sometimes just sounds like a friend. So this is again, my journey here. I said, God, examine my heart. And I just all of a sudden had this thought, if I were your natural father, you wouldn't have to strive when you're with me. I thought, well, maybe that's me. Maybe that's me. But what I did was I just kept writing it down. I didn't stop to analyze it. I didn't judge it that moment. I wasn't concerned if I was, because this is my journal. I'll share it with somebody afterwards just to make sure I'm on track. But I just kept writing. You wouldn't be overwhelmed with what the world would say. You would speak and you would listen. You would love and be loved. You would be held and rest in that embrace. And then I had a thought, return to the simple ways. And again, you could start to say rationally, well, that's me. That's my thinking. But as you start to just listen to that soft, gentle thought and write it down, you begin to catch the flow of God's Spirit, that perfume. Or you might just see a picture of a flower. Or in the middle of worship, you might just get a single word. I was in a worship time one time, said, just talking about Keith Hazel, who, as we know, recently passed away. But when we were in, Keith was preaching one day, and I was in church that Sunday, and I was worshiping God, and I had a thought, the word extol. Extol is a word in the Bible, extol, right? So I did the spiritual thing and went and looked in the concordance. And so I looked into the concordance and just saw, where are all the verses with the word extol? And I found, I think there's a verse in Psalms or something, I will extol you or something like that. And I, when I read through them, all of a sudden my heart just went ba-boom on one of the verses. Right? So I thought, okay. So I'm just, again, being sensitive to the prompting there. And so I just stood up and I read it out. That's all I did. And I sat down. I thought, okay, that's kind of weird. And so Keith got up to share that morning. He says, I just want to thank Mike for sharing that verse, because this morning I was prepared to speak something, but I changed it and God gave me this verse. So it's just interesting how God just uses, with just the little things, God uses those as we follow them. He's just teaching us how to hear his voice. Even Jeremiah, God says, what do you see? He says, I see a tree. He said, that's right. You know, it wasn't a profound word like, that's the tree of God and you're going to be a man of God. It was like, what do you see, Jeremiah? He says, I see a tree. And so tonight I wanted to encourage us to understand that hearing God is part of our inheritance. And I want to do something practical with that in just a minute. I want you to grasp that. That's like a foundation stone in your heart. My sheep hear my voice. And there's an interesting verse I just want to finish with here in Hebrews 5:14. And it says, he's talking about the mature and solid food, which is about the word and just being mature. But in Hebrews 5:14, this is our challenge. And this is my challenge in my life particularly. But solid food, Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment. That's a spiritual thing, isn't it? The powers of discernment, that's something of your spirit, okay? Who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice. And I just want to encourage you that I am more comfortable hearing God today because I've been journaling for 30 years. And I've been practicing a hearing ear in my regular walk, in my private walk with God, that helps me to hear more clearly publicly. Does that make sense? And so the challenge, this is my challenge that I'm faced with all the time, is just senses, am I hearing God in my quiet time? Not God speaks a number of different ways. Let's remember that. That God can, all of a sudden you're reading a scripture and it just jumps out. That's God speaking through his word. But I write that down in my journal. Or God speaks, all of a sudden you're in worship and you have a picture. And instantly we're trying to make it into something that should be shared on Sunday. But step back and say, God, are you showing me something? And write that down in your journal. And just begin a process of, by constant practice, training the powers of discernment of our hearts. So what I want us to do is, I want us to just sort of have a bit of application to this, but I want to suggest three things tonight to apply about what I've just said. The first one is to be open. Even when perhaps we're talking about being filled with the Spirit, there can be a part of us that kind of holds back and says, I'm not sure. It could be out of fear of losing control. It could be just a fear of man. For many times when I first was a Christian, I didn't want to be water baptized because I was afraid of being in front of people. And I said, no, God, I can't do that. And he says, okay, we'll wait. And I just kind of coasted. And finally, I came to a point where God challenged me about it and said, come on, it's time. And I overcame that fear. But be open. God, let the outer man, my mind, my emotions, my will, my flesh, all that is, let it be submitted to your spirit. We're not talking about being broken in a harsh way. Does you understand what I'm saying? But it's like, break the vessel, Lord, that your perfume will come out. So that this would be a house of perfume, a prophetic people, that when you're gathering in your small groups in your homes and someone is hurting or someone just says, you know, I just had a rough day today. Could you pray for me? Then you're gathered around and you're just saying, God, what do you want to say? And then you just share those things that encourages and comforts, lines up with the Word of God. And we learn that together, and then we're practicing in the safety of a safe place. Be open. Second thing, be filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. We leak. We leak all the time. You know, circumstances, pressures come in everyday life. So we need to continually be filled. And maybe even from last week, what they talked about being filled, you didn't maybe get a chance to be prayed for, to be filled. Or maybe that's something you didn't quite think was as important. I remember there was the time when they had what's called the Toronto Blessing, where they had the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Canada. And there was some people from Toronto coming into town. You know, the Toronto posse were coming in into Lethbridge. And I was in the middle of work, and I was overwhelmed with my job. And there was lots of stuff I was doing. And I was going, God, I don't have time for this. And all this stuff that I'm doing. And I just felt like God sort of said, don't you want more of me to help those who you're helping? Or don't you want more of me to be able to relate together and to have more of God? So be open, be filled. And the third thing, be still. Be open, Lord, break down my rational thinking. Break down my fears. I'm open to you. Let the perfume of your spirit come out to my senses. Be filled and be still. Thank you, Lord. Let's just wait in the presence of God here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I trust that I've expressed my heart as best I could. But I'm asking the Father this evening to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know Him better. I'm asking God to give you an aha to know that He wants to talk to you, not out of a superpower gift, not out of a few where we have to go and find the prophetic person, but that it's a part of our everyday life. And if you don't mind, before we just have some worship here, what I want to do is, I just want you to just talk with God just for a second. We this idea of the fact that, God, there's sometimes things that I do to hold back from what your Spirit's doing in my life. That question about, are you open to Him? Is He Lord of your life completely? Does He have permission to pour out His Spirit on you without it being stopped by your own thinking or your fear? And I just want to encourage us that God just wants us tonight just to say, God, will you break off of me that fear? That's what I did last week when I was felt this cap of fear. I just said, God, you've got to take this away. I don't want you to feel tonight you're saying, there must be something wrong with me because I'm capping God. That's not, God's not bullying us to say, well, it's your fault. He's saying, if you can see this, I'll take care of it for you. So just reach out to Him tonight. Just say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing, Lord, to be open to you. I just ask you, God, to break down my thinking, to break down my fears. It's like there's something that when it talks about moving in, being part of the Spirit of God, or just going deeper in God, there's just sometimes a part of you that just says, I just have a hard time just stepping into it. Like, you know that there's something holding, there's something of your heart that holds back and resists. I just want to encourage you just to lay it out tonight and just say, Father, I lay down my heart to you. I want to hear you. I want to be willing in the day of your power. Just pray. Just quietly pray. Just between you and God right now. Just take this moment. I believe this is just a moment for you just to say, God, break this off of me right now. And I give it to you right now. Break me, Lord, by your gracious, gentle Holy Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now you would blow upon every heart here this night. I thank you for just the rich place this is. This is just an open place for you, God. Lord, you're not have a heart of punishment in any way. You're just saying you have the Spirit of God within you. You have all you need. You lack nothing in me. And just allow God's Spirit just to meet your spirit. And sometimes that encounter can be an emotional encounter. It's like, God, even when I read that little bit about what I had thought about in the past, it just brought tears to my eyes, because there's just, God's been so good. Father, just pour out on us right now. We worship you, God. Just worship you. And just now, just let your heart, just as we come in this time of worship, I wanted us to just sort of come and have a little time of worship here where we can just open our hearts to him afresh with this understanding now that God wants to speak to us and we want to be open to him. And our openness meets his spirit and it has great impact. Father, in Jesus' name, we just call on your name. We worship you. Let's just stir your spirit. Lord, just worship you, Lord. I worship you, God. I worship you, God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just before we have the band come up, there's such a peace here. I don't want to step away from it and just sing away from it. But God's here. I just want to encourage you just to step back. God's heard your heart. Just sit back. I just want you to fix your eyes on him. Just as if in the inside, like on the screen of your mind, just step back and just look at him. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would just drop into people's heart right now your thoughts and your pictures, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. You might have a thought or two. If you have something to write with, you can just write that down, or just let those thoughts, don't stop them, don't judge them, don't, in other words, don't stop and analyze them right at the moment. Just let that picture develop there. Just keep fixing your eyes on him. And just as we worship God, I just want to encourage you to be speaking with your mouth the songs. You can be singing, but just step back in your spirit. Look and listen just on the inside for God to just speak to your heart. Sometimes what helps me, just as a little tip, a little thing is, sometimes it's saying, what does it mean to picture Jesus? But what helps me as well is if I'm having a hard time focusing, I'll close my eyes, and if I know the words to the song, I'll picture the words of the song in my mind. And it just helps me to look on the inside rather than being distracted about what's going on the outside. But I just, as we just want to have us just a little bit of worship and just allow our hearts to just be open and expressed to Him. And then we'll come back and just do a little bit of an exercise in that. So. Break, but that God wants to break your image of yourself. I just see someone that there's a mirror that you look at, and the view of yourself before God is one of unloved and unapproved and unaccepted, that you're all alone. And God comes tonight to you gently, just as I said. He's not here to say, I'm going to break you because you're bad. He says, I want to break the bad image that you have of yourself before me. I just feel that God wants you to take that mirror, that view of yourself, that you it's almost like you've been harassed with a negative battle in your thinking. And God tonight says, can I take that away? Can I smash that mirror? And would you receive me as your Father afresh? I just want to encourage you right now, just before God. He can pray for you afterwards as well. But I just want to encourage you just to respond to Him and just say, Father, I smash that mirror. I refuse those lies of myself. And I embrace your grace. I embrace the position that I am your daughter. I'm a princess. I'm your son. I'm royalty. It's as if you look at your inheritance and say that that's not for me. I've blown my inheritance. Or I'm disqualified, or I'm not suitable for God's inheritance. I believe God just wants to set someone free here. Just reach out to God. Father, just as we continue to worship, lay down the mirror. And just lift up your hands to Him and say, Father, you've got to help me see myself the way that you see me. Father, in Jesus' name, Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes would be open to see that there were more for him than against him. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you would open the eyes to see good and not evil, life and not death, hope and not despair. In Jesus' name. Let's just keep worshiping just a little bit more. Just let your heart, just keep it simple before God. Just say, Father, I worship you. I give you my heart. It's all about that heart connection with our Father. Tonight it's about the perfumer stirring his holy anointing oil within us. Before we engage in encouraging others. We need to know the love of the Father for us. And we need to know how our Father sees us. And I just want to make sure that you get that what we're talking about is communication with a Father that loves us. Hearing for the purpose of getting to know Him more. I just feel that God wants us to ask Him a question tonight. And when we ask a question, we listen for His answer. So when I'm journaling, I have a book specifically for that, rather than just study notes. But I just put a date at the top of the page, and I write my thoughts if I'm writing things, and then I stop and I wait for His thoughts. But just, see if we can just keep playing just a little bit. The question I want you to ask God, just as we look to apply this, is, God, how do you see me? What is your picture? How do you describe me? I just want you to just ask God. Let those words come from your lips towards Him. Just quietly in the worship, what we're doing. Just say, Father, how do you see me? For some, you're going to feel just incredible emotion, and don't shut that down. For some, you're going to get a picture. For some, you're going to get a word or a phrase. For some, a verse of scripture God's just going to put. But I just want you just to abide in His presence right now. And just ask Him. And just look to Him. It's like He's in the room with you. There's no one else. Father, how do you see me? And let Him express His love to you. Step of faith, just to give God glory. If God showed you something or said something, just slip up your hand. God, I heard you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Just want to encourage you that that's the heart of the Father, to just love on us. And it gets complicated when we get involved, when the vessel gets closed and not open. Thank you, Father. I just want to ask if anyone would just be willing just to share something that God showed them. Just to encourage us. Again, just the word, just simply what? You don't have to explain it very much, but just say the words. Just so we can hear His heart.
Thank you. Yeah, I just felt God say to me, I love you so much, but you're in such a rush. I just want you to be still and know that I am God.
That the door will always be open to you. It will never be closed.
He showed me that I was a flower, and that even though I was delicate, I was strong, and that I was rooted in Him. And that was really precious to me.
Just before the worship, I felt well, God gave me an image of a street. It wasn't the street I recognized, but God reminded me during the worship that God has given me a heart for my neighbors, and it just reminded me that I need to do something about that.
Anybody else?
I just saw God in front of me, reaching out his hand and just touching my cheek. And in that touch, it was just full of tenderness and love. And that touch comes every morning for me.
He just said, unlimited.
A couple of words was loyalty. In other words, dependability. That's good.
Yeah, I had a picture of a rosebud and just one petal beginning to open, and there was like a dewdrop hanging, and just felt he said that there's a lot of light on that, on the dewdrop shining out.
So good.
Yeah, I feel even now God is pressing into my hands really tightly, and he's showing me that him and me are strong together.
Yeah, that's so good. Can we just thank God? Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. We don't want to take your voice for granted. Just a precious spirit here tonight. Just receive his love. Lord, break down everything that competes with our stillness. Teach me to be still. Because stuff happens when we're still. What I'd like you to do, just to finish off, is like you just to find one or two other people, two or three together. And I just want you to just take turns and just put your hand on the person. Because when you make contact, there's something that happens when you make contact. If we end up look like this and praying, there's not, it's just something even just by putting your hand on. And I just want you just to ask God for a picture or a thought to encourage them. Not to give them direction, but to encourage them. Let's be a body tonight. So just reach out to somebody that you know or that you trust. If you're in a place that you just, that's just not comfortable for you, this is a safe place. I don't want you to feel you're doing something that you're not comfortable with. So if you're not in that place tonight, then you can just say, no, I'm sorry, I don't want to do that right now. But just let's encourage one another. Let's let the body minister to each other. This is what it is to be a prophetic people. So can we just take a few minutes and just encourage one another. Keep it short, keep it clear, but just let God speak to each other, okay? Let's just keep it an attitude of prayer. Just Marsha wants to just add something in. I just want to make sure we get the full heart of God tonight. So just let him have your ear just for a second and just see if God speaks to your heart in this.
Just when Mike was talking about the bottle and talked about taking the lid off, I just felt God say that there were some here tonight and you used to take the lid off, or maybe you took it off once or twice, but then someone either said, no, that's wrong, you shouldn't do that, or you got that wrong, and you put the lid back on, and you actually screwed it on really tight. And that fear has been, I'm not gonna let that out again. And I just believe there's some here tonight, God's saying to you, because he talked about oil, and actually a lubricating oil, WD-40, loosens tight things. And I believe the oil of the Spirit wants to loosen that lid so that you can take it back off and you can begin to be this naturally, supernaturally prophetic. Yeah, and really, you know, when you're ministering, or when ministry is taking place, you've held back and haven't gone because you thought, I tried that once. And I kind of got burnt. I got told I was doing it wrong, that I wasn't right. And God's saying to you tonight, come on, let me loosen that and let me take that top off. And that when I take it off, it's not going to go back on. And you can then begin to minister in the heart and with the presence, with the encouragement of God into your own life and into those around you. If you feel that, you, I'd love to pray with you. I'd really love to pray with you and just really make sure that you're free and ready in what God has got.
I just want to add one thought to that, is that there was a man who met Jesus, talked about his daughter being well or sick, and he said, if you believe, it'll happen. And he says, I believe, help my unbelief. And I just even felt tonight that just God is meeting us right now. And I think we sometimes come to a place, you go, God, I know that I've held back. I know there's a cap there, or I know that I've held back. I just give myself fully to you tonight. And I just want to encourage you that just as we finish and as we have worship, I'll just hand it back to Simon. If you are here tonight and you go, I just want to seal it with God, that I want to be open. And I just want to know today that I can put a stake in the ground and say, tonight I stood in the place of God taking me as I am, afresh. That's the grace of God. I don't want anyone to go away tonight and say, well, I guess that cap is just going to stay. Because the grace of God can just take care of it. That's part of the control of it, isn't it? It's just like, okay, God, here's the jar. You smash it. Yeah. Allow that to happen. Father, I just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for a heart, your sweet presence, your precious spirit here tonight. In Jesus' name, we just thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.